This is audio of The Extraterrestrial Vision, Who Is Here and Why, Gina Lake, 1993. Text found and copied from online book. Preface. Note from the author, August, 2011. I've decided to republish this book, which went out of print in 1999, and make it more widely available. Although this information is very different from what I'm writing about currently, I've heard from many that it has been useful and interesting, so I'm offering it once again. The information in this book is the viewpoint of a non-physical entity in the sixth density, who has evolved beyond the Earth plane and who is working to help Earth during this critical time. Undoubtedly, it is not the only viewpoint. Just as we rarely find two scientists, professors, or theologians in total agreement, we should not expect total agreement from entities or extraterrestrials about Earth's history and situation. History is colored by the historian, and this is no less true of the many entities who are trying help us now. These more advanced entities, non-physical and physical alike, are still evolving, as we are, and can only provide us with their version of truth from their level of understanding. So no version of any experience is the truth, everything is subjective. The purpose in writing this book, I am told, is to prepare us for the many changes that will result from our discovery of celestial beings. These beings will introduce themselves to us before long, and we will be faced with integrating them into our worldview. The repercussions of expanding our worldview to include an interactive universe will be significant, as every area of life, philosophy, religion, science, sociology, history, psychology, medicine, law, and government will be irrevocably changed. Although we have seen change on this planet accelerate dramatically over the last 50 years as a result of technology, this is nothing compared to what will result from meeting our celestial neighbors. Humanity is about to make one of its biggest leaps ever. The more people who understand who these visitors are, how they have been involved with us, and what their intentions are, the easier it will be to adjust to their presence. With preparation, we are more likely to have a positive outcome to such an expansion of our worldview. Gina Lake, Spring 1993. Introduction. This book is being written to prepare you for planetary changes, the likes of which have never been experienced in humanity's history. The Earth has experienced polar shifts, ice ages, floods, and other climatic and cataclysmic occurrences. But never has humanity experienced anything like it is about to, as a result of the appearance of aliens on your planet. Aliens, however, is a misnomer, since you are closely related to these visitors, both genetically and spiritually. The term aliens also doesn't fit because it has a negative ring to it. While most of those visiting your planet are strange-looking, they are not to be feared. Most have come to help you. We will tell you who these visitors are, how they intend to help you, and how they are similar to what humanity is becoming, for in many respects, they represent your future. Information about extraterrestrial visitors is coming through channels and psychics today, most from benevolent sources. However, be aware that not all of this information is from visitors who are trying to help you. As you will learn, some visitors are trying to undermine the good works of the many benevolent visitors. These negative extraterrestrials pose no serious threat, although they would like you to think they do. We hope to expose their activities so that they don't continue to create fear and confusion among you. They really have little power, and what they do have is quickly diminishing. Having said this, let us begin with the story of human life on your planet. Part 1. Who is here and why? Chapter 1. Where you came from and where you are going. Your origins. The information in this chapter will shock many of you. It is so controversial that you may not want to believe it. Nevertheless, it is time for you to know where you came from. Eventually, the story of your origins will be accepted, but first it will have to be introduced by many sources and in many different ways. This is just one of those sources and one of those ways. Human beings did not evolve naturally on Earth. They evolved from genetic engineering of ape-like primates by beings visiting your Earth millions of years ago. These extraterrestrials were the first intelligent species to discover the Earth, besides one former colony of extraterrestrials that had landed here and left when your extraterrestrial forefathers, mothers arrived. That extraterrestrials altered the DNA of certain primates on Earth to create the human species is undoubtedly shocking, and yet, your scientists are beginning to play with this same technology like father, like son, you could say. Regardless of whether you approve of it or not, genetic engineering has been part of humanoid history whenever humanoids have been intelligent enough to use it. You are only one form of humanoid. The universe is populated with many, many humanoid forms, with some basic similarities. Let's look at some of these similarities as a way of defining what we mean by humanoid. Humanoids stand erect on two legs and have, generally, two arms with various kinds of digits. They have sensing apparatuses, which vary from species to species in your case, a nose, a mouth, skin, eyes, and ears. They also have heads, of course, in varying proportions to their bodies, all of which contain a brain or similar mechanism that rules intellectual and physical functioning. Beings that have these general physical attributes can be said to have a humanoid form. Human beings are just one species of humanoid, the one found on your planet. The early primates on Earth had a humanoid form. However, they could not be called humanoid because they lacked the most important ingredient of all, a soul. So the most critical humanoid component is not physical at all, but spiritual. A soul, not just intelligence, is what separates human beings from other living creatures on Earth. No other creature on Earth except cetaceans, dolphins and whales, has an individual soul. All others have a group, or hive, soul. The soul can evolve intelligence, but intelligence, although it evolves, cannot evolve a soul. Thus, creatures on your Earth continue to evolve intelligently, but they will never become ensouled as a result. Only you and the cetaceans have this privilege and this responsibility. The beings who colonized your planet knew this. They knew intelligence alone could not create soul. They knew the primates would not have evolved by themselves into human beings as you know them today. If humanoids were to live on Earth, they would either have to come from elsewhere and adapt to Earth or be created genetically with the help of a species already on Earth. Did you realize that even soul is encoded in the genes? It is. Everything is. Adapting to a foreign planet, however, can take many hundreds of years and be quite painful, especially in the beginning. Such adaptation also takes a toll in lives, something that your forefathers wanted to avoid as much as possible. Therefore, they chose to create humanoids by combining their own genes with primates' genes to create hybrids. This hybridization continued for many thousands of years until the extraterrestrials could mate with their hybrids and produce offspring. At this point, the genetic engineering was stopped and evolution was allowed to continue naturally. There were many long periods in which the extraterrestrials were not actively involved in procreating with evolving humanoids. The periods in which extraterrestrials became more involved resulted in extraordinary advances. But these periods became fewer and fewer as humankind evolved. You may think creating life through genetic engineering is unethical. If this seems like playing God to you, then you are not alone. This subject is controversial even among advanced extraterrestrials. That this is a free will universe means that anyone who invents something may use it. As with any other choice, this results in learning. You are here to learn, and in this sense, there is no such thing as a wrong choice. Every choice leads to learning of some sort. From the Creator's perspective, if we may assume we understand the Creator, creating another vehicle for sentient life is not only allowed but applauded. How this is done, where this leads, and the motive for doing this is what may or may not be considered ethical. What were the motives for creating the human species on Earth? The motives were mixed, as they would be for any endeavor that required the cooperation of many people. Many of your creators were responding to a desire for an outpost for their future reincarnating selves, another world where they could reincarnate. Others were responding to the same scientific drive and curiosity that impels much of your scientific work. While for others, this experiment, and it was an experiment, since the outcome was unknown, was a sacred opportunity to co-create with the Creator. This last group was expected to give spiritual guidance to the project. So although there were many motives for creating human life on Earth, the participants acknowledged the spiritual responsibility of what they were proposing and sought spiritual guidance about how to go about it. However, being fallible as they were, they did not always heed or clearly understand the spiritual counsel they received. This resulted in much learning for them. Their interactions with you today are different from what they were in the past because of what they have learned about being gods. They will not make the same mistakes they made in the past, but they may still make mistakes. Today you are faced with the same dilemmas they were. They questioned whether they could engineer a life form that would benefit the planet. You ask or should ask the same of the technology and chemicals you are creating. You cannot know how any creation will be used or how it will evolve, even though you may have specific goals in mind, because once you have created it, it is out of your hands and becomes something others act on according to their free will. In a free will universe, the future is hard to predict, even for advanced intelligences like your forefathers. And unfortunately, intelligence is not enough to ensure beneficial creations. The ability to create beneficial creations depends not only on the Creator's intelligence, but on the Creator's spiritual development. The more the Creator is aligned with the Creator, the more beneficial the creation will be to the whole. On the other hand, the more out of alignment and the more intellectually advanced the Creator is, the more detrimental the creation. Intellectual development does not necessarily parallel spiritual development and, in fact, often interferes with it. We said that your forefathers sought spiritual guidance for their work. This is much to their credit, for many in the universe are not as spiritually developed as your forefathers but are still capable of genetic manipulation. Worlds have come and gone because of such individuals, who did not sense their connection with the Creator but felt entitled to act as both Creator and God to their creations. These experiments failed, and the Creators, and their creations, learned. In fact, many of the Creators only learned by reincarnating as one of their creations. So it goes. Even the worst situations can be used to evolve us. Service to others and service to self. Your forefathers, although they were not as spiritually advanced as they are now, were still advanced enough to recognize the Creator's presence in their lives and the importance of seeking the Creator's guidance and approval for their actions. They believed in what they were doing on Earth. Their motives as a whole were to serve the Creator. This orientation toward serving the Creator is often called the path of service to others, or simply, the path of service, as opposed to the path of service to self. Service to others and service to self are names for two different approaches to evolution. Those on the path of service to others, as the name implies, believe that one returns to the Creator, evolves, by serving others. Those on the path of service to self believe that one returns to the Creator by serving oneself. They believe that in serving themselves, they are serving the Creator. Your forefathers were on the path of service to others. These two points of view developed because the physical universe is formed around polarities: love, hate, light, dark, male, female, yin, yang, happiness, sadness. These polarities create the ground from which the lessons of physical existence arise. For instance, sadness creates a drive for happiness, and it is recognized when found because of the former experience of sadness. So sentient beings in the physical universe learn to return to God, goodness, by having the freedom to experience its opposite, self-involvement. The folly of the service to self path, thanks to the pain it engenders, is always eventually recognized, although sometimes only after many, many incarnations. Those who choose a service to self path eventually switch paths and complete their evolution by serving others. This undoubtedly raises many questions. Do we all first choose to serve self and then change to serving others, Or are we one or the other orientation and then change later if we are serviced as self? Everyone begins their physical incarnations on the path of service to self and either moves quickly or less quickly to the path of service to others. Although most do not stay long on the path of service to self, some remain there for thousands of incarnations before they decide to shift. These individuals often reincarnate together repeatedly, creating society's whole planets made up entirely of individuals on the path of service to self. These worlds are a hell of sorts, but one way for those on this path to learn that this is no way to evolve. Eventually, they come to see the limitations of the service to self path. Although they may develop intellectually, psychically, technologically, and in other respects by serving themselves, a service to self society cannot evolve, since its members cannot function as a group. As a result, such a society does not benefit from the expertise of its members, and the members often end up using their skills against each other. Service to self societies are continually at war and continually overturning their leadership. If you can imagine a world without cooperation and ruled by fear, you can imagine a service to self world. There are, of course, self-servers on your planet. The youngest souls, those in their first incarnations, are service to self. However, there is another group of service to self on your planet, those who have reincarnated from service to self worlds, who are committed to the service to self path. They are dangerous because they have evolved intellectually and often psychically but not spiritually, and they use their talents to advance their own ends. That they have this development and no sense of their connection to the Creator makes this service to self type especially dangerous. Self-servers are as diverse as any random group of people. They work in many different professions, but are particularly drawn to ones involving power. Much of the corruption in business and government is perpetrated by self-servers, many of whom are highly intelligent. They are never found in service professions, except as imposters or con men who prey off those in need. They have no sympathy for the needy because they believe everyone should be self-sufficient. They believe that those who can't take care of themselves will learn to take care of themselves by being taken advantage of. Consequently, they feel a spiritual duty to take advantage of the weak. Also in this category are the black magicians and Satanists, who openly or not so openly practice the dark arts. Here again, their only interest is power and self-advancement. They will do anything, including murder and mutilation, to achieve their goal, which often is simply power for power's sake. Just feeling powerful is often enough for them. They achieve power by taking it away from others through control, fear, and murder. Fortunately, only a few have such grandiose dreams as taking over the world or a particular country. Those who manage to gain worldly power are likely to have spent many lifetimes on service to self for planets like ones in the Orion constellation, where they developed their intelligence and cunning. Another service to self type involved with Earth now is a group of extraterrestrials sometimes called the Greys, who are dying out because of service to self's inviability. This group is following somewhat of a plan, which we will say more about in the chapter on them. One other service to self type involved with your planet but also not on it are multidimensional, capable of changing form, and materializing and dematerializing, extraterrestrials from the Orion constellation. They are working cooperatively with the Greys, at least for the time being, to undermine the transformation that others like us are trying to bring about. More will also be said about the Orions later. These service-to-self groups and individuals are trying to create chaos on your planet now. Fortunately, as is true with all self-servers, they won't be able to maintain enough organization to make an impact on Earth's course now, although they have had an impact at different times throughout your history. Service-to-self groups and individuals have limitations on the damage they can do, despite the intellectual and psychic development of some of them. The first limitation of service-to-self extraterrestrials like the Greys and the Orions is a self-imposed one. Out-and-out destruction of a developing race such as yours is unethical to them. That is, although they are here to take over the Earth, they will not do it by murdering you or overthrowing your governments. Instead, they are hoping to contribute indirectly to the downfall you yourselves have potentiated. They believe your destruction is inevitable, and they are positioning themselves to take over when it happens. Since they believe they have the technology to restore the environment even after a nuclear holocaust, they are not the least bit concerned that you will make the Earth uninhabitable to them, but they should be. The Orions and the Greys are trying to hasten your downfall, stirring up trouble any way they can. Their main tactic is fear. The Greys, in particular, have announced to your government, which has been in contact with them since their landing in the late 1940s, that they will destroy you if you don't comply with their demands. Their first demand is that their presence not be revealed. This is one reason your government has been covering up its interactions with the Greys and glossing over accounts of UFOs. What your government fails to realize is that this small band of extraterrestrials does not have the technology to destroy you, nor would they act so aggressively. This agreement has made it necessary for the servers to adjust their plans. The servers know the Greys' plans and their every move, and have enacted a counter-plan. The second limitation of the Greys' power is that they are physically very weak. Their lifespan is drastically reduced by the conditions of Earth. They have been willing to risk their lives because they believe their race will be saved through hybridization with you. But they are wrong about this. They don't have the time they need. Even genius cannot save this dying race. They don't believe this, however, and refuse to listen to advice. They are stubbornly persisting in their plan, which will lead to their demise, not yours. So we and others here to help the Earth do not see the Greys as a threat and are trying to guide them to a more successful outcome. So far, they have not listened. Maybe knowing about the service to self path will help you understand why there is so much suffering on your planet. The cruelty of some people is understandably baffling to you. However, the Earth and other physical systems have always had such dramas between good and evil. Through the interplay of good and evil, you evolve. Moreover, evil evolves into good, which is the good news. Sometime in your evolution, you will no longer need to reincarnate on a planet with this drama going on. You will eventually move beyond this and continue your evolution in non-physical realms, in fifth density and beyond. Your planet is going through a similar evolution, as it moves from third to fourth density. As a fourth density planet, the Earth will still be a physical world and still evolve through polarities, but life will be easier, with much less suffering. Eventually, the Earth will evolve out of physicality into fifth density, as you will. However, that will not be for a very, very long time. Moving into fourth density, one reason you are being visited by extraterrestrials is that Earth is transitioning from third to fourth density, and Earth's people need help adjusting to fourth density, since it also means changing their vibratory rate. This will result in a world that operates at a higher level of consciousness. This shift is necessary not only for Earth's survival, but for Earth to take its proper place in the universe now. This shift from third to fourth density is coming about more quickly than it ordinarily would. This usually takes place gradually. However, this has not happened, and now the Earth has to make a leap. The results of this shift will be astounding for everyone on Earth. Those who will not be able to withstand the change of vibration will have to leave their bodies and reincarnate where the vibration is more compatible. Unless they can make the shift to a higher consciousness, they will not return to Earth in their next lifetime. This shift in vibration, reflected in human beings as a shift in consciousness, requires chemical changes in the body, and not everyone's body will be able to adapt. These adaptations can be eased by dietary measures, pure air and water, a peaceful environment, and meditation. A trigger has been implanted in your DNA that will cause this consciousness shift under the right circumstances. Unfortunately, not everyone will be able to make use of the changes this trigger will release or survive in a body long enough to receive help from the trigger. This trigger was engineered within your DNA as part of the human experiment that brought you into this world. It is a precious gift from your creators, the gods of your ancient myths and legends. Its purpose is to ensure your survival into fourth density. More about this later. This impending shift means that a major advance in the human race is here. Never has the Earth seen a leap in consciousness like the one about to take place. Consciousness has always evolved slowly and painstakingly, as is normal throughout the physical universe. The leap of consciousness you are about to experience is an experiment. No one is entirely sure what the results will be. What is certain, however, is that this will be a remarkable time to be on Earth. Beings have gathered from all over to witness and participate in this transition. Both observers and guides from many corners of the universe have come. The critical issue is to what degree you will destroy Earth's environment and atmosphere before the consciousness shift takes place. A consciousness shift will not be enough if you have already set in motion irredeemable forces of destruction. Already, much damage has occurred. One thing is clear, you or rather your children will pay for your environmental mistakes and short-sightedness. The only question is how much. When your consciousness shifts, although you will see the error of your ways, it will be too late to avoid certain consequences. Although we have been trying to influence your course, we and others guiding your planet will not step in to save you from yourselves unless we have to. Our combined efforts could moderate any destructiveness. But for the most part, we will let you make your choices and live with the consequences if it doesn't mean Earth's extinction. Earth's help as powerful forces geared toward turning conditions on this planet around are at work through many of you. Extraterrestrials and others here to help Earth are working through people's subconscious minds, through dreams, intuition, psychics, and channels. The message is getting across in your mass consciousness, and momentum is building toward a more positive course. In addition, many advanced souls from other planets and dimensions, often called star people, star seeds, or wanderers, and walk-ins, have reincarnated and are reincarnating on your planet to ease the shift in consciousness and guide critical choices. Star people and walk-ins look like ordinary people and often think of themselves as ordinary people, but they have extraordinary abilities and development. Many of the political changes occurring now are reflections of this infusion of advanced consciousness, which will not stand for oppression and which will demand democratic reform. Without the prodding of such advanced souls, such swift and monumental changes would not be possible in such a short span of time. Changes will continue and accelerate throughout the 1990s and into the 21st century. The new age is near, and although we will not venture any dates, many of you reading this will witness its arrival and experience the dramatic events that will mark it. For those who have prepared for it, this event will be most joyous. Others, who have not made the shift in consciousness and in mind, will feel fear and a sense of loss over the old order. For most of you, however, it will be cause for great celebration. Many of the helpers, both extraterrestrial and terrestrial, are here to heal and raise consciousness so that the triggering mechanism within your DNA will be effective. This trigger will only be tripped if you have reached a certain level of consciousness and physiological preparedness. Some work needs to be done to raise some of you to this level. Healers are a critical part of this plan, since both physical and emotional healing are vital if the physical body is to make the vibratory shift. This is why there are so many healers now and many new types of healing being introduced. Many of the new healing techniques have been used and perfected elsewhere and brought here to help the people of Earth heal quickly. Spiritual teachers are also important to the plan because they can raise consciousness simply by their presence. Their other role is introducing a philosophy to uplift and nourish these times. Oddly enough, many are playing this role who would not ordinarily be thought of as spiritual teachers. Environmentalists and ecologists, for instance, are spiritual teachers of a sort, since what they are teaching is integral to the philosophical shift taking place. After all, the new worldview is based on ecology and cooperation. And then there are non-physical entities like us, often called spirit guides, spirit teachers, or guardian angels, who have acted as guides and teachers for people on Earth throughout history. Besides working directly with people through channels and psychics, we deliver messages and promptings indirectly through dreams, feelings, the intuition, and the subconscious mind. Many of you are aware of our presence, but you don't have to be aware of us or even believe we exist for us to affect you.